Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Somme TV podcast. My name is Jason Wise. On today's episode, our very own Claire Kopy is going to speak to Rebecca Rose Phillips, who is a prominent wine director here in Los Angeles, about wine certifications. All of those classes, all the studying, and all the things you saw in Somme, those are part of trying to gain a certification within the wine world with the hopes of getting a better job eventually. That's kind of the goal. The two of them have been wine directors, they have worked the floor, they have been sommeliers, they've done it all. And the two of them are going to have a conversation today about whether or not these are still necessary. They're going to talk about the difficulty of going through various wine certifications, if it's still needed in today's climate, and they're going to address the scandal. This is a really fascinating conversation that only the two of them could have. So I hope you enjoy that. Before we get to Claire's and Rebecca's conversation, I want to say we have a brand new special coming to Somme TV on August 15th. It is called Tournament of Bubbles. It is a blind tasting special that pits some of the greatest professionals at Aspen Food and Wine Classic together to blind taste bubbles, which is one of the most difficult things to do. It is a hilarious episode. It comes August 15th. You can watch the trailer at SommeTV.com now. Make sure to sign up for all of the best entertainment you can find in the culinary world at Somme TV. Without further ado, Claire and Rebecca on their conversation about wine certifications.
Hello, everyone. I am Claire Kopy, and I am joined today by someone who, to me, is the epitome of what hospitality truly is. She is the managing partner and wine director of not only one, but two wine bars here in Los Angeles. One is Bouvette Wine Bar, and the other is Vintage Wine and Eats, where she joins us from today. She makes learning about and drinking wine just so fun, so welcoming, so approachable. This is the one and only Rebecca Rose Phillips. Welcome, my dear.
Oh my goodness, what an intro.
Was it good? Was it
Thank
good?
Thank you. Yes. Uh-huh. I'm like, ooh, who is this girl?
It's you. It's you. You are just one of the most truly like passionate. So you have such a fire lit underneath you for wine. Still, like day after day, like it just, you show up to work, it shows in the love and care and the wonderful atmosphere of your wine bars too, as a good wine bar should be, you know, like walking in, it should feel like home. I love the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I feel like most of us have that passion because it is, I mean, it is a labor of love and it is a labor. Like there's so much that goes into it, whether you're running, you know, a wine bar program or a beverage program at a hotel, or you're in the vineyard, or you're in the, you know, all of us sort of like small business operators, whether you're making wine or serving wine, it's a ton of work. And I think we all do it because we have that passion. So that's definitely what fuels.
100%. You definitely have to love it.
Yes.
Be passionate, maybe a little obsessed. So today I want to talk to you about a few things, but I really want to have a frank conversation with you about wine and sommelier certifications, the exams, and the organizations. We're going to focus on what I think are the main two, being the CMS, the Court of Master Sommeliers, and then the WSET, the Wine and Spirit Education Trust. So we're going to focus on those two because I think, would you agree that those are the main ones that wine professionals chase?
Yeah, I think so. And I think they're probably the most common in terms of people getting them or going through those programs. And then I feel like even if you haven't gone through them, those are probably the two that you're familiar with.
Well, there's been a lot going on, especially with the Court of Master Sommeliers in the past couple of years, some scandals. And a lot of people, you and I and other peers have had conversations about, are these certifications worth it anymore? Should organizations like that just be dismissed, kind of burned to the ground? Should they have the weight? Do they have the weight they once had? So we'll get into that. But I do want to ask first, what brought you to the wine world? How did you get into it and get to this place that you're at?
My first restaurant job, I was 14. I was a cake cutter at a diner in Greenfield, Wisconsin. And I've worked in restaurants ever since. So, I mean, that's over 20 years of restaurant experience, but all through high school, all through college. And then when I moved to Los Angeles, I was pursuing an acting career. And like all good actors in LA, obviously I was waiting tables, which eventually led to managing restaurants. And that kind of went hand in hand with me discovering wine. And I picked up the Wine Bible and I was like, whoa, this is like a whole thing. Like, this is kind of wild. And I'm a naturally very curious person. So I just started going through it because it fascinated me. And then once I fell down the rabbit hole, it was a quick fall. I just fell in love with it. And I think that is one of the things that is still so exciting about it is that you'll never learn it all. There's always something more to learn. And I think that's what keeps it interesting. And as you know, it's just like, it's economics, it's geology, it's
history,
trends and history and all this amazing stuff. And you get a little buzz, and I'm a Taurus. I love all things food and wine. That is my, my love language. So
is that a Taurus
just
thing?
Kind of.
Food and wine is a Taurus thing. I didn't know.
For sure. So yeah. So it's totally encompasses like all of the things I love. So that's how I got into it. And then as I was managing, I was running wine programs for other people and I was general managing. And as we discussed, it's a labor and I just got a little burnt out. And I said, I'm good at this. I like it, but I just wish this blood, sweat, and tears was for my own investment. And so I decided to take some time off to just, that's it. I'm going to clock in and clock out. I don't want to manage people. I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to take a break. And then I met my business partners and a few months later we, instead of taking a foot out, I dove straight in.
Yeah, that's the opposite.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, that's how we got here. We opened Vintage in 2019, about 9 months before the pandemic. and then Bouvette was sort of always that we actually intended to open first. And then we hit all kinds of crazy permitting issues with the city. So we opened Vintage while we were that was on the back burner. And then through COVID, we ended up getting that permitting in 2020, the summer of 2020. So yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get into some more of that wild ride later. But yeah, let's hop into the court. So you just recently sat for your advanced exam.
And I sat for the advanced theory exam. So the advanced program's a little bit complicated to understand all the steps. Yeah. Intro, you go for a 2-day prep, you take the class, certified, you just kind of show up and take the exam. With advanced, you take a test to get into the course. The course is a 2-day prep. After you've completed that, you're eligible to start the exam process, essentially. So I took the first exam, which is theory. They're now doing that at a Pearson Testing Center. So you can take it in whatever city you're in. You show up, they literally pat you down. You go into a room with computers and they like watch you take the exam. And then once you pass that exam, you're invited to come for the in-person exam. And that is tasting. There's some business acumen that they've added to the exam, which is new. So cost percentages and inventory and fun, like that kind of thing. Yeah, no, I know. You want to scare a sommelier? Say the word numbers.
Yep.
Math.
Don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it.
Yep. And then there's some more. And then there's the service exam, which happens as well. So once you get in person, that's three parts. So I just took the computer testing center exam. I did not pass it. It was the first time I took it.
I know.
It was a 25% passing rate. So, it was the hardest test I've ever taken. And I studied for it, not to give away too much. I know you're not supposed to like say what's on it, but there were like photos of certain vineyards or areas that you're supposed to name. What's this tiny appellation in this tiny village in France? And what kind of sweet wine do they make there? And so it's just really specific questions on a little bit of everything. So it was super hard, but it was exciting.
Yeah, the advanced is incredibly difficult. And the fact that you can't even begin to even think about taking it until you pass a much smaller, what is it, like 100 questions, something like that, that precursor exam to be able to sit for the course. And it's hard too. Nowhere near as hard as the advanced, obviously.
Oh yeah, that one, I left that exam thinking like that was really hard,
I've taken that once, but I failed that. But it's incredibly challenging. We have our SOM documentary from 2013, which followed the Master Sommelier exam. But I think people need to understand just how difficult the advanced exam leading up to that is as well. Like there's a huge leap between certified and advanced and then, also between
that
and master.
I've also heard that it is harder now. Because they've, and kind of going back to the scandal and the changes that they've made, that it has become a little bit more difficult now. So I don't know if that's true. I didn't take it before, but that's what I've heard.
So let's talk about the scandal a little bit. So do you want to tell us about what happened?
So basically, Me Too, that wave, you know, it hit everybody, and the wine industry was no different. So the Court of Masters had a huge shakeup. There was an expose that came out in the New York Times, and it took down some very high level men who were terrible people doing terrible things and using their positions of power to exploit young women. And when that happened, it forced a lot of us to, one, ask ourselves, like, what role did we all play in sort of, like, you know, keeping this system afloat? And then two, should everything sort of be burned to the ground, like you said? Are we just going to get rid of the whole thing, or do we rebuild it? And in what capacity do you want to be a part of it? Like, do you want this accreditation, or do you want no longer want your name associated with any of it?
Yeah.
So it was a kind of a crazy time. And social media is, you know, you get to see everybody's opinions and everybody's what they're thinking and feeling and doing. So I feel like it was a really heated moment. I think it settled a little bit. But yeah, that was my sort of like my experience of it.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. I mean, I think especially like that, it seemed that they didn't react in the way that people felt they should have as well. It seemed like they were still kind of protecting some of these men, and that they weren't, you know, really doing anything. They did strip some of the gentlemen of their Master Sommelier title. There were other Soms that gave up their Master Sommelier pin in the wake of all that, in the wake of how they handled Black Lives Matter. And I think a lot of people just were not happy with the court, especially 2021, in the wake of all these things and feeling like they just were not handling these things properly or taking it as seriously as a lot of people felt they should. So, yeah, I mean, we've had conversations with friends. Do you think the court, is the revamp going well, since you've just experienced this? Or is this something, should we even give it the time of day? Should these certifications matter?
I think it's interesting because I think that a few things. One, when situations, you know, and everything was so heated and everybody wanted them to come out and like say this, you know, statement or do this. And I'm not saying they handled it perfectly by any means, but I do think things move slowly. Like when you have, you know, a group of people who most of the, you know, the people who are the Master Soms who are on the board, all of that, it's a volunteer position. Everybody has full-time jobs in addition to their roles. I mean, I'm sure they have a few full-time employees, but for the most part, those people, it's a volunteer position. So you're trying to get like 20 people all on board at the same time to sign off on a statement, to do a thing, whatever. And maybe that was the moment where they should have dropped everything and handled it better. Mm. But I do feel like part of it is organizations just move slow. So I think that was part of it. I am really encouraged by the changes that have been made, but I do think it's just tricky because, you know, there are certainly some like hospitality colleges you could go to or whatever. But for the most part, when you talk about WSET and CMS, those are the two accreditations that we look for, or those are the benchmarks that we say, hey, I've passed this exam, I have this pin, or I'm a WSET 3, and then you or I can quickly calibrate like, oh, I understand what like level of knowledge you have, or I understand what, you know, it's like a marker on your resume, right? I've got a master's, I've got a bachelor's doctorate degree or whatever it is. Yeah, it gives us this kind of like way to calibrate somebody's experience and their acumen. So it's tricky because if you throw the baby out with the bathwater, who's going to start it? Who's going to start a new organization or a new accreditation, which is not impossible, but I just feel like also all of the people who worked their asses off to get those pins and that like, great, so now that means nothing. Like, we're just going to burn the whole thing to the ground. And that was how I felt about it. If I was a woman, let me be clear, I was in no way personally affected. I did not have any interactions with any master sommeliers that were inappropriate. I never felt like I got taken advantage of. So if I had been one of those women who was assaulted, let's just be frank, I might feel differently. I might say, yes, burn the whole thing to the ground, because that experience is, I can't walk in those shoes and I don't know how that would feel. But I know there's a lot of good people who were a part of it as well. So, you know, hopefully everybody's just learned from it. And I am encouraged by the changes that I saw when I went to the course. I think the thing that I really liked is they did not shy away from it at all. It wasn't like this elephant in the room. There was a good, like, oh, really? When we sat down, we walked into the room and the first hour and a half was, we fucked up. Here's what we're doing to change it. So, okay. You know, one of the biggest things is before it was just being run by all of the men who were in charge.
Yeah.
So now it's being run like a normal nonprofit organization where you have board members who are not master sommeliers. Their right. job is to just be a board member of a nonprofit organization. So they've changed the structure of how it's run completely. They've added a board of diversity and inclusion. They've added a third party to investigate any wrongdoings. I know there's some mixed feelings about how that was handled. But they just straight up were like, yeah, this was a terrible, terrible thing that happened. It almost took us down, and here's what we're doing to fix it. And I felt like by addressing it so head on, it put people at ease, and it made us all feel a little more comfortable.
Instead the of director just brushing of it
education.
Off.
Yeah, totally. Melissa Monasoff is just so positive and such a ray of light. And it just felt, the whole thing felt really positive. So I don't know if excluding the bad apples is like allowing the good people to shine in this moment, but it feels like, yeah, it feels like it's all being addressed and change is slow, but I feel like because it's on the forefront of everybody's minds, it's being addressed in a positive way.
I'm assuming that wanting to go for your advanced level was always kind of a goal, like a dream of yours ever since starting the certification process. It certainly was for me. So when this happened, did you take like a step back? Were you like, ooh, do I really want to do this? Because it's a lot of money too, we should mention. Like, it's thousands of dollars that you're putting into the, you know, examination fees, the travel, the, you know, it's a lot. And then of course having to taste all these wines. So was there a moment of hesitation where you were like, maybe I'll wait?
In the thick of it, for sure. Yeah, in the thick of everybody kind of like, you know, and the master somms who were like, I'm throwing away my pin. I don't want to be a part of this. Like in that moment where everything was really heightened and everyone was kind of scrambling to decide like how they felt about it. For sure. I think everybody questioned, you know, did they want to be associated with something like this? But for me, because there's like no alternative at this moment of like another organization that holds the weight. I know certainly some people said, okay, screw the court. I'm going to stick with WSET. And I totally respect that decision. WSET, I've never taken it, but it is my understanding that it is more classroom oriented.
Yes.
And I've always liked that the court was hospitality oriented because that's what I've done. That is where my experience lies. So for me, when the dust kind of settled and when they did announce, and I logged on to all of the listening sessions that they did with all of the women sommeliers, and it just felt like they were really taking everything to heart and like really hearing what people's concerns were. So in those conversations, I felt comfortable moving forward. And I've just always felt, I mean, there are 168 master sommeliers in the United States. The number is larger when you look at the UK. But through Court of Master Sommeliers America, there's 168. 25 of them are women. So when I see those stats, when I see that, it just lights a fire under my ass. I'm like, okay, let's do this, motherfucker. Like, I just get stoked and I'm like, all right, I wanna go the limit, you know, I wanna do it. I wanna meet the challenge. So that to me has always been the big goal, is to go for the whole shebang. So yeah, I felt like when the dust settled, things felt comfortable enough for me to move forward.
So let's talk about WSET a little bit. As you mentioned, it's a lot more classroom. So if you are working in a restaurant, you might want to go down the court route because you do have that service part of the examination. You need to know things like cost percentages, all those fun math things you were mentioning earlier. So it's much more, I guess, appropriate if you want to be working in the restaurant setting. I used to have people reach out to me saying they wanted to learn more about wine. Should they take their introductory through the court? Should they, you know, try for their certified? And I was like, well, if you're not going to be working in a restaurant, I would save yourself the stress. because WSET is a lot more. You're still blind tasting with their own structure. That's different than the deductive grid through the court, but you're still doing that to pick apart the structural components and the fruit notes and all that. And it's a lot of writing as well. And there isn't really this service portion to it. You might have some math questions as well, but there's no portion where you have, you know, a diploma.
To do champagne service.
Right,
or to
exactly.
do like decanting for the
exactly.
table, like that yeah. element.
You yeah. don't have a master sommelier firing off the most obscure questions while you're carrying a tray of champagne flutes and you're like, ah. So yeah, I think it's very nice. It also felt when I sat my WSET exams, like that classroom setting, it felt very approachable and very friendly. And the court can be a little intimidating and they, and it's kind of like you have the course for the advanced, but you don't really have that for the certified at least. So it's like, we don't know what might be on this. So study everything. And the night before you're like, oh, I haven't learned enough about like aging requirements in Mendoza or any of this stuff. So it's, I think for a lot of people, it felt like the more approachable option. And it's very difficult as well, because then, you know, we have a lot of friends that have studied and passed the diploma part of the WSET, which is very difficult. And in all these units, it takes, what, like 2 years to finish?
Yeah.
And more
yeah,
thousands of dollars.
Depending how, yep, depending how quickly you do it. And yeah. even with that, I mean, I know plenty of people who are like, oh, I passed, you know, it took me two times to get through, you know, sparkling or whatever it is, the winemaking portion or whatever. So yeah, it feels like, I mean, it's equally as difficult, but just maybe in a different brain space.
Yeah. For me, it was the writing. I hate writing. And you have to write so many essays. I hate doing it. I can't. So in your opinion, then, you do think that these certifications should continue and should have the weight and consideration that they used to have?
You know, back in my parents' day, maybe you didn't have to go to college to become the branch manager of the bank and then, you know, get promoted to the, you know, like the corporate office or whatever. Yeah. And nowadays you kind of do, but definitely in the restaurant industry, you don't have to have an accreditation
no.
to, you know, some of my wine reps come in and they school me on every wine that they pour for me. And I'm like, where the hell is this place in Italy? And they're like, oh, you've never yeah. heard of Inzonio Mancroci. And you're just like, huh? So like, certainly if you've spent 50 years in the industry, you know way more than I know because I studied and passed a test.
Yeah.
So I do think there's like different, yeah, exactly. Like, so there's different ways, but for somebody who either, you know, wants the challenge of passing the test or standing in front of a panel of people and blind tasting verbally six wines in 25 minutes, you know, I feel like there's something to that that is like the challenge is exciting. But if you're just looking for, you know, somebody who's super knowledgeable, certainly experience in the industry can give you that. You don't need an accreditation.
No.
But it's a nice place to start. Certainly for people who are, you know, I love wine. I've always loved wine. I want to learn more about it. What should I do? Where should I go? It's a nice place to start to kind of get your feet wet.
Absolutely. That's why I did it, was I didn't have the restaurant experience from the wine side, but I knew that this is what I wanted to do. So I was like, this will help me study. This will help me get more serious, take it level up. And as I'm eventually, you know, paying my dues in the restaurants, in wine bars, stuff like that, at least I have these, you know, I've studied and I've gotten these certifications. Gives me a little something, you know, while I'm getting the experience.
I mean, it definitely gives you a little more bragging rights than like a bartender certificate. Like, you know, all those like fake bartending schools
the
where
ABC.
They teach you how to make like a fuzzy navel or something. And people
yes.
are like, people don't drink this. And then you like apply for a restaurant job and people are like,
I drink fuzzy navels all the time. What are you talking about? I have honestly have no idea what that even is. And I used to be a bartender.
I think it's like a peach drink.
So you and I need to go out and have some fuzzy navels is what I'm picking up. It's got to have been really tough, not only just studying for this exam, but also running these two establishments and not just, you know, the typical angst and stresses of running an establishment, but also on top of that, we had a couple rough years there with COVID.
Yeah.
Which was the worst time for restaurants. And it's still affecting you. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think the biggest lesson I've learned is... The freezer's always going to break. The numbers are always going to be off. Like, you're always going to need more sales than you have. You know, like the numbers might be smaller and you want them to be bigger, but you're still going to be, like, trying to make your labor percentage work and your, you know, all of that stuff. Like, I think the last 3 years was all of that just on crack. like all of it just amplified, you know? Yeah. So I think the biggest lesson I've learned is if you can keep your 2 feet on the ground and if you can keep your mental sanity and your attitude in check and like take care of yourself first so that you can take care of others, it just was like that is because it's always going to be something. It just always will. So like coming out of COVID, you know, we're like, okay, it's outdoor only. Okay. It's indoor, but 6 feet apart. Okay. You can get a partition. You can, you know, so we're jumping through all of these hoops constantly. Yeah. And then we come out of it. We're like, okay, it's a recession. Great. SAG-AFTRA is striking and the writers are striking, which really affects us in Los Angeles. I mean, most of my clientele works in the film and television industry. So it's like, okay, I guess that's why we were slow on Saturday, you know? Or you're like, okay, it's the Monday after a long weekend 2 weeks ago. I think we'll be busy at six, but we're going to slow down by eight. You know, it's always like you're trying to crystal ball the situation and figure out why you're up, why you're down. But that never changes. So if you're working on a small scale and you're like, yeah, our sales are really small because we're only running a tiny patio, you're still, it's all percentages and you're just trying to make it work. So if that's the case, sure, it would be nice if we were busier all the time, but you're always going to be saying that, right? You're always going to be wanting more. And so I think the biggest lesson is just like you have to control your own mentality. And then because you have to be a palm tree, you have to be able to sway with the wind.
Ooh.
Because it just like the waves are not going to keep, you know, they're not going to stop. It's going to keep coming. It just might take a different shape or form. So that I think is the biggest lesson. And on my good days, I can remember it. And on my bad days, I'm like, why did I do this?
I was gonna say, you need to like help me out with that. Like, what are you meditating or I need to get on your level?
I mean, the wine helps. The wine helps.
The wine certainly helps for sure. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us about the court, about WSET, about these organizations, certifications. Like you said, you absolutely don't necessarily need them to be an incredibly intelligent, successful, badass sommelier wine professional. But it's really encouraging to hear that there are these changes that are happening. And I agree with you. You put in all that hard work. Why just throw it out the window? It's not necessarily fair to the people that have worked hard and not assaulted people. So thank you for chatting. And I highly encourage all of you who live in the Los Angeles area to visit Bevette, visit Vintage Wine and Eats because they're amazing places. They're so much fun. Rebecca has amazing things happening every day of the week. She's got Taco Tuesday. She's got grilled cheese on Wednesdays or Thursdays, is it?
Yeah, grilled cheese Wednesday. And this Dollar Thursday, oysters. we're doing our annual Brats and Beaujolais celebration. So I'm grilling up a ton of brats and then we're going to pair it with a flight of Beaujolais. So
I will be there.
We've always got something up our sleeve.
You do. You've got karaoke nights. It's amazing. It's such a fun space to be in. And where can everybody find you on social media if they want to check it out?
Oh, Let's Taco, T-A-C-O, Bout Wine is my Instagram and TikTok. And then Vintage Studio City and Bouvette LA are our also Instagram and TikToks for the wine bars.
Well, thank you again, Rebecca. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And cheers.
Thank you, Claire. Cheers to you. This was awesome.
I want to thank everybody for listening to that conversation. It's one that I'm really proud to have had on this platform. I want to remind everybody that we have our Tournament of Bubbles coming to SOMTV. It is a great special, August 15th. So go check out the trailer right now on SOMTV. That's playing free. Whether you're a subscriber or not, you can watch the trailer. And we want to know what you guys think about the conversation that just happened. Are you going through a certification? Hit us up on social media and let us know. And if you love this podcast, please remember to give us a great review wherever you listen. Thank you, John Adams, for producing. And thank you, Claire and Rebecca, for being guests. Really appreciate it. Everybody, please be safe and have a great drink for me.